Hi, all. This is Hillary. How are you this afternoon?
Doing well. How are you, Hillary? This is Michael, the SOS.
Good. Hey, Michael. Oh, I'm getting an echo. Sorry about that. I don't know if it's on my end or not. I'll try the headset. Are we still echoing? Yep. So we'll give it a second, then jump in and see who all is here. And Michael, did you get all the documents with the?
I got three separate. Gosh, we are getting an echo, aren't we?
Yeah.
I received three separate process diagrams.
Perfect.
Okay.
In just a sec, we'll figure out who all is joining us on the phone, and then we'll get started. We'll give everybody just a couple more minutes.
Hillary, it's Cynthia.
Yeah. Hey, Cynthia.
Do you want me to take notes, or is someone else going to take notes from now on?
If you would take notes for this one, that would be fabulous, and then we'll figure that out.
Marvelous.
But you only
Thank
have
you
to
very
take
much.
The first thing you hear, not the echo that you're hearing.
I know, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So for those who just joined, we're going to wait just a minute and let everybody get on, and then we'll see who all is joining us today, the day before the 4th.
Do you know why Jerry Mallett called? He wants to run as an unaffiliated candidate, and I don't know what he wants me to do about it. Because he doesn't think he has to circulate a petition. And he does. And Laurie told him that.
All right, well, let's. I'm going to go through from the email list that I have and see who all's on, and then if we have other people, I'd love to hear that as well. So, Amber, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Connie?
I'm here.
Excellent. Cynthia, I know you're here, but we'll do it again anyway.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Bo?
I'm here.
Great. Josh? I wasn't sure. I thought he was out of town, but I couldn't remember for sure. Joyce?
I'm here.
Excellent. And then, Michael, do you know, was Jed joining us?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I mean, he's just been all on the lists of the scoreboard, so I don't know if there was an expectation. I just was checking.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he is or not.
Okay.
And with regards to the echo, I think it's because we're also broadcasting this call, and I'm not sure what we can do about it, because I believe we have to broadcast for the open meetings requirement.
Yeah, our other meetings, though, we have it on the phone and we broadcast them. So I don't know what Steve does, but don't know. So we'll just keep going with roll. Renee?
I'm here.
Excellent. Rudy?
Present.
And I know Sheila was out of town. Vicki, are you able? Again, I'm not sure who all was joining for sure from the SOS side of things. And then Elena?
Hi, I'm on.
Excellent. And then anyone else? Those were sort of the listed, and anyone else who joined, if I didn't know if some of the other commission was going to listen in or not.
Hi, this is Josh. I just got on.
Oh, excellent. Hi, Josh. I couldn't remember if you were on vacation or not.
I wish.
Yeah. Great. Anybody else that we...
Yeah, Fran's
oh,
here.
Oh, Fran. Excellent. Thanks, Fran. Oh, Fran, I'm going to forward you. I don't know. Did you get all of the attachments or not?
No.
Okay.
I believe I have those models.
Okay. Well, I'll forward them to you just so you have them handy if that works. But
thank you.
Of course, now I'm having trouble having it pull up your email. There it is. And there'll be two emails because one of them came today.
Thank you, Hillary.
You bet. Let me just do that really quick, and then we'll go from there. Hey, sorry, I'm emailing Fran, and then we'll get her, so because we're going to go over these, so I want to make sure everybody has the visuals handy for themselves. So, all right, so first just do a quick review of the agenda. It's in the email that I sent out yesterday. Obviously, based on our name, one of our first priorities is to align on a business process so that when development happens, it will be developed to the process as opposed to adapting a process to development. So, and then the other item that we also need to talk about that is not on the agenda, and I had spoken with you all, a call we had before we were an official group, was what information did we want to send to the commission? And Cynthia put a lot together, and so I will forward that out. And if you have any other additional thoughts of what we should forward on to the commission, that would be great. My plan is to get them to Stephen to get to everybody for the 8th, but then we would actually talk about them at the commission meeting on the 15th, which is when our group has been asked to come and talk about the process and anything else we feel the commission should know. So questions so far? All right. Well, then let's I think most everybody on the phone was at or from the counties were at conference and saw the models, and we talked about them then. I guess the goal I would like us to have is is there one of these that we then present to the commission? Is there what level of detail do we feel should be? And then I think also with the process is, are there big differences between the models that you guys noticed both in reviewing the documents or after you saw them presented at conference? So let's jump in with some opinions on first, how off do we think our model is, at least from the county side, and then I don't know how much the from the SOS side, what they are thinking about how things work in the service centers is. So if we start with that discussion, that would be helpful.
Hillary, this is Michael. I just saw Vicki run by with her headset on, so my guess is she will be on the call soon.
Okay.
And also, there's a couple of discrepancies that I saw between the Larimer and Denver models.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not discrepancies. One is, the Larimer model talks about using ballot on demand, and the Denver model, I don't believe, touches that, but it might just be that it's not getting to that level of detail. And the other is, when DREs become available at an office,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if that's something that was touched on at Clerk's Conference as like a decided-upon date, it's going to be 22 days or 15 or 8 or some along those lines, but those are just the two things that I saw initially that kind of drew questions in my head.
For this year, to clear up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is Amber. So with the model that he sent around, that was sort of developed to be from the voter's perspective and then what the voter would go through in the service center, so more of a high-level business model, if you will, and meant to be fairly generic so that counties could incorporate it, whether they're using paper stock at their service centers or they're using a BOD, or what the differences may be there, or if they're using CREs or what have you. So I think that whatever business model we go with, needs to be high level enough to allow county to implement it depending on whatever they have in terms of equipment.
Hi, this is Cynthia. The other difference that I noticed is we do talk about a person who is carrying out their ballots. So I do think that needs to be incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Ours was obviously more detailed to show how we were going to do it. So,
and it seems like both are useful depending on what level of detail and how our process is and where it interacts with four in particular is going to be, it's like how to get show how all of those pieces are fitting together.
This is Cynthia again. Can I ask a question? Because one of the things that we struggled with putting these presentations together at conference was, do we need to allow flexibility for counties for their processes? Or are we setting a specific process that they have to follow, even if it may differ from their county process? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and really the goal, because of what is supposed to be happening in service centers, is to make them as similar as they can, taking equipment into account. But from the standpoint of some, you know, kind of the beginning part, like before they get a ballot, there really shouldn't be that many differences. I mean, so there's some flexibility, but not completely wide open, I guess.
And also that's what you see from these documents.
Sorry, say that again?
Sorry, it's Cynthia again. So obviously that's why there's similarities between these documents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And really between, and I can only pop two up on my screen at a time, but really between Denver and Larimer, there's not, you know, that much difference. Is, I think it feels more like a layer of detail. And Chafee's, too. I mean, Chafee's looks pretty similar as well.
Yeah.
But I think
this is Amber. Ours is meant to be a high-level perspective. We have a lot more detail when it comes to training our judges and what have you on different flow charts. But I think whatever we settle on, it needs to be generic enough so that counties can, you know, if they want to use a BOD, they can use a BOD, or they can use paper stock or what have you. So, I mean, I think we just have to be careful to make sure that it's high level enough to allow that flexibility depending on equipment or some of those other factors, but still be, the voter will still experience basically the same thing as every service center around the state, right?
I think that's true. I think the other part with some of it is what do you need in the beginning process in order for checks and balances and compliance with other parts of, you know, like the watchers and those sorts of rules as well. And the more we can make those decisions and create that model, my sense is that would be more helpful than not. And that's, I think, the line we have to walk between having it set. Sorry, the echo is making my head hurt. And having flexibility for differences. So it's almost like, what are the differences that don't matter and what are the differences that do? And does that impact programming and development of SCORE?
Hillary, this is Josh.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to ask if you think it would be helpful for us to identify those specific areas that there is a decision point or flexibility on the county.
I think that'd be great. One of the thoughts I had was, do we take the Denver model and just walk through each of the scenarios and would that pull that out for us? Because it's higher level.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, that's, and it doesn't, since I hear no objections, we'll proceed with that. So if everyone can make handy the one from Denver, Voter Service Center Options, Denver Elections.
That's inside there, too.
Hmm?
I know what setting.
He says he's got all the mics. Oops.
Okay, we'll keep going and see how this works. So first is the registered voter with a mail ballot. I think that's pretty... then we'll drop down to the next one. So a registered voter with a damaged mail ballot.
Hey,
the first
Hillary?
One. Yeah?
Can I jump in real quick?
Uh-huh.
Counties under 25,000, if I remember correctly from conference, don't have to have the secured ballot drop box 24 hours.
Yeah, I was
That's
kind of
correct.
Skipping. It is true, and I was skipping over that because it's not part of the process. For us, we want to focus on the Voter Service Center experience and the programming required for it. And that first line for me seemed outside that.
Yeah, and it really, and if you look at the top how it says or across,
mm-hmm.
covers kind of all the different scenarios. So
how they can get it back, yep.
Yeah, so how they can get it back.
This is Elena. I have a question on the last point on that first line. To vote on an accessible machine or, I guess, to get a replacement ballot, do you need to surrender your mail ballot or can you just request and have it canceled within SCORE? Do you need to have the physical ballot, I guess, is the question.
No.
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 So you don't have to have it.
It's still called surrendering.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean physical surrender, it just means expression.
Yeah, and that's why we included it up there. So they do have it and want to surrender it. It's someone with a mail ballot. And then the one down below, I think it's 4 pounds. The voter who would like to put on an EA machine, and then it says in there, if they have it, they'll surrender it. If not, they'll fill out a form and update their address if necessary, and then go to the machine.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank
you. So there's sort of two different ways.
And Michael did bring up one of the issues is what do you do about the accessible voting before your center's open? I know in previous elections, we've always just had that be part of the office and used the regular process for that. What are others thinking as far as when their ADA machine would be available before centers open?
Hillary, this is Rudy from Weld County. We do the same business process as you, just have them available in the main office till the service centers are open.
Yeah, and for the smaller counties, it will be the same. Mm-hmm. office even when the center opens. So others?
Delta County does it the same way.
And are planning to do it that way this year, just to be really clear?
We usually, the day the ballots go out in the mail, the very next day we're open to do all processes.
Yeah. So I think the one piece is, do we think in-person voting on a regular paper ballot, my sense is that's not available until the center is actually open.
Okay.
I'm just, that's our interpretation. I was wondering what others thought on that.
This is Vicki. Okay. The early voting module is no longer the early voting module. It is the in-person voting module.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are turning on the issue paper button. Oh, my gosh, that
I know.
Echo is insane. I'm bad enough the first time. But anyway, so I need you all to remember this. You don't get it both ways.
Well, there's getting it both ways, and then there's having, not using it. I mean, having it available.
Well, what I'm saying is, even if, for those counties who only open up their voter service and polling centers 8 days prior
mm-hmm.
for in-person voting.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be doing in-person voting 22 days prior when they use that early voting in-person module to surrender a mail ballot and either issue DRE or paper.
And my point is that you would issue a DRE, but you would issue a mail ballot at that point as if you'd gotten it through the mail, the application through the mail. I mean, the same process.
But the problem is going to be that they're going to issue paper. They're not going to issue a mail ballot. They're going to have them vote right then on paper. That's in-person voting.
And my point is they wouldn't have them vote right then. That would not be an option that's available before the service center opened.
We can't disconnect it.
It's not that it's disconnected. It's where you issue the ballot for them from. Because if someone wants a replacement ballot, the process would be to issue that through the regular mail ballot replacement process so that they could take it with them.
That's correct.
So our intent would be to use that same process up until our service centers open. You're either getting a mail ballot or you're voting on the DRE, as we've always done in a mail ballot election.
So when they go into the early voting module, instead of clicking DRE, they're going to click issue paper. It's going to happen.
Because of a training issue is what you're saying.
Right, and because they can. This is something that counties have wanted ever since we started surrendering mail ballots for DRE. They wanted to be able to issue paper ballots right then, right there, if the person wanted paper, not DRE.
And this is Amber. I would prefer it to the early voting or in-person module as it is now to allow us to issue that starting 22 days out. I think that's what you're saying, right, Vicki?
That is what I'm saying.
Okay. So you're saying instead of going through the registration screen and mail ballot screen, you would use the module. Because I think with us, what we do before that is we mail the ballots to them, although we do occasionally issue them a mail ballot on demand at that time, just more if they're leaving the country. Otherwise, we mail it to them. Others, what are your thoughts on this area?
This is Josh. I think we've identified the first decision point that is up for county interpretation.
Which we need to have a recommendation for.
Right.
So. And it sounds like, to Vicki's point, it's going to be turned on, so... So then does in-person voting start, either carrying or voting there, actually start at 22 days, and can it?
It should start 22 days before the election.
We will start it at one site in Larimer County.
Yeah. Wherever you have your DRE set up, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Which is going to be people's main office, I would imagine.
It's fifth floor versus first floor versus fifth floor.
Yeah.
Well, that's hard to say.
Yep. What about others? What were you planning on doing before your centers opened?
This is Pueblo. We would want to start that also 22 days before.
Okay. And probably keeping it more consistent then.
Same thing with Morgan for that way.
This is Joyce and Chafee, and it'd be the same for us.
This is Lou Gehrig and Jeffco. And, yeah, we would have it at our five branch offices. The 22 days before, and then expand within the 2 weeks.
Okay. So,
that probably adds a... So when someone's voting there in person and they want to vote on paper, are you giving them just a flat ballot and, you know, essentially checking them in? And if they want to take it with them, how would you account for that? Because then at the end, if everybody's in person and they and one of them actually is going to vote a mail ballot, your numbers aren't going to match up.
Hillary, this is Josh again. This is, I think, decision point number two, because I talked to several counties last week who had different interpretations on whether they would issue straight a flat ballot or a replacement mail-in ballot.
Well, and what I heard is that people would be issuing it through the issue paper screen. And in our minds, we had always imagined we would only use the issue paper if somebody was voting right there, not if they were taking a mail ballot.
I think that may be an area where we may want to make recommendations.
Because, again, if you issue someone a mail ballot and they take it with them and it comes back in through the mail, but I'm assuming the report from SCORE is anything issued through the early voting module would be counted as an in-person voting experience. Because one of the things we talked about was the first screen you'd work with them in was registration. If they were going to take their mail ballot with them, you would just process it through registration, then go to the early voting module if they were actually going to vote there.
And would we need that for statistical purposes?
What do you mean by that, Cynthia?
Well, we track ours to in order to balance at the site, you know, how many ballots we have in the ballot box as to how many forms that have been issued. So it's a statistical. If people are taking it home, that makes it much more complicated.
Mm-hmm. And Amber, I think you and I were having this conversation. I'm trying to remember. Was that, you know, we talked about how when the voter first came in, you started with the registration screen, see if they're registered. Did they not receive their mail ballot? Have they moved? And then did they want to take a mail ballot with them?
Yeah, that was what our thought is, to make it as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because likely the folks that are coming into the service center are going to have either a registration issue, or they're going to need a replacement, or they're going to be surrendering. So regardless of the registration screen, and then... sort of troubleshoot what their issue is right there, and then if they want to do the in-person or they want to do the DRE, you would go over into the in-person module.
Yeah. Which it sounds like can work, except some counties sounded like if somebody wanted to vote in person, they would be voting on a DRE. And then, thinking of for when the tie-in goes with ballot on demand, for systems where ballot on demand and issuing the ballot are separate processes, I guess that's the question. Will ballot on demand, what I heard described, will that work for this election, or is that a 2014 improvement to tie into the Runbeck system?
Larimer tested it in UAT, and it worked fine.
Okay. And does it, if you're issuing a replacement mail ballot, does it do it, or is it, just going to be through the in-person voting module?
We tested in both modules. We tested in for replacing a mail ballot, and we also tested for in-person on the early voting module.
Hillary, this is Judd.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Judd.
I believe, I mean, Vicki would be able to tell you more, but I believe that that is fully functional for 2013.
Oh, great. Just impact in, with the process on that. And then with the ballot on demand, does it just keep one, like, running count? Or does ballot on demand make a distinction if it's printing a mail ballot replacement or a in-person paper?
It's printing based on your inventory defined in SCORE.
So if you have separate inventories, it'll pull from those inventories?
Well, see, that's how, but SCORE's not set up. SCORE's set up for separate inventories based on whether you're doing it through the voter registration mail ballot module or the early voting module. Vicki's probably a better one to clarify this with, though. I'm hoping she's still on the phone.
I am.
Yep.
The way it works is, it's just like Cynthia said, it's all about the ballot inventory. And you'll see in the mock election that you still have to set up absentee inventory as well as early voting inventory. And then your voter service and polling center inventory. So if I want to issue you a mail ballot out of Issue Ballots voter registration module, it's going to come out of your absentee inventory. If I want it in person out of early voting, that will come out of your early voting and or your voter service polling center inventory.
Great. Again, just more thinking through the balancing so when you run reports. So that's good. That's good news.
Yeah, the run now the ballot on demand, Cynthia would have to speak to that piece of it because it doesn't jive necessarily with SCORE, but you're going to have all your tracking in SCORE.
So the machine would just probably do a count for the day or a count for whatever, whenever you're taking it, I'm just guessing.
You can get a list, an export or a list out of the DOD daily, shows who voted and the ballot for serial number that was issued.
And then you could do a hand count, I mean, hand tabulation to figure out if it matched what SCORE was producing?
If I remember, it also shows a total.
Okay.
And then
more just meant if it shows a total, it's going to be, wouldn't that be a combined total? Unless you have two separate machines, one for in-person and one for mail ballot replacement.
It would be combined. Yeah, we would go back to, Virginia's telling me we'd go back to our forms also.
Yeah. I think there's four you could get it out too. Okay. So it does still sound like we're still saying the same thing I guess I'll ask the question. I heard Amber say that they were looking at starting with registration and then replacement ballot or ballot to take with came through your registration screen and then in-person voting would be through the early voting module. Is anyone thinking about doing it different or pictures that process differently? That we'll say it on the phone.
Will the issue carry button be taken away in voter registration?
What? Issue ballot in voter registration will remain because that is about your mail ballot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I guess, Vicki, is that how you envisioned some of that process? I couldn't tell.
I suppose so. If you have a new register and somebody wants to take the ballot with them, I think we've usually handed it over to county to them by do in a carry. Mm. So I'm wondering if that process is changing.
There are two types of voting, mail ballot and in-person. The end. So there's an, even if you actually, the issue method, if you entered a request for them, although you shouldn't if they're standing in front of you, that's issuing a mail ballot. And you stick it in the envelope and you put this label on it and they go away.
They get their whole packet, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been a long time since I've been in a county packet, huh? Yeah. Instead of just go away.
It's dine in, dine out. Okay, I think we're all saying the same thing. Just it's hard because some people are they're in your office, but they're not necessarily voting in your office. Anyone who doesn't vote in your office is a mail ballot voter.
Okay.
Hi, Hillary. This is Steve Ward. I understand there's an echo on the line, and we're investigating right now. We're thinking that maybe if all the participants in the conference call drop off and come back, we may be able to reinitiate the conference session and get a cleaner line.
Okay. Let's all do that. Give it a couple minutes, and we'll come back on.
Yeah, just give us 2 or 3 minutes to reinitiate the call and then dial back.
Great. Thanks.
Welcome to CenturyLink Conferencing. Please enter your passcode by the... Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you. Your passcode is confirmed. When you hear the tone, you will be the second person to join the meeting.
Hi, this is Steve Ward. Who's there with me?
Judd, I'll bet.
Hi, this is Steve Ward. Is there anybody in the call?
This is Joyce from Chafee.
Joyce, do you hear any better call quality right now?
I do. I don't hear no echo. Well, that's great.
That's good. All right. I apologize for that echo. I think we may be in better shape now.
The number of guests currently in the meeting is 4. The number of presenters currently in the meeting is 1. You will now rejoin the meeting.
Hi, this is Steve Ward. Does everybody have a clean line now?
Are we better? Nope.
So I heard from Joyce and Chafee that she was connected just fine and that there was not an echo. Is there anybody else there?
Hey, this is Michael. I can hear you and there's no echo on your voice. But it sounds like there might be one on mine.
Yes. The people on the call.
This is Cynthia with Larimer.
This is Connie from Morgan.
Okay, so everybody's still hearing an echo on their side of the conference.
It's better.
Thank you. Trenton this afternoon. Let's see.
Okay.
Well,
I'll have this coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll dial in a couple lines. So.
Okay.
Sorry about the echo on the line, folks. We're investigating with our IT department. We think it's probably our conference call provider, but we did install some new equipment recently, so it could be that as well.
Okay. Well, we'll see how long we can take it, and we'll just keep going with it then. Well, that sounded better. Oh, okay. So, how about we recap where we're at so far? First, we did make the decision that in-person voting can start at 22 days in the office until the center is open. Is everybody still good with that statement? Now, doesn't in-person mean paper? I don't know if we've actually decided that. I think the bill allows for in-person voting to be the DRE, intentionally or not. So then the next part was if they want a mail ballot, you would issue that through the registration screen and using the carry button, or if you're going to mail them the replacement, you just update their registration. True so far? Okay, so let's pop up one of the models. Next decision point. Sorry, let me get Denver's back up. Chafee's also has, so I guess the question I have, does it matter what the voter wants to do? Is that the way to go through it, or should we just go through the overall voting experience? Okay, then we'll go through it by the type of that voter that it is. So if someone walks in, they have a damaged mail ballot, and they want to get a replacement. The voter comes in, they're looked up in registration. So then there's the form, and that we haven't really talked about what form are people filling out at the service center. So that seems like another decision point and a choice in the business process.
Hillary, this is Josh. I was going to ask if the state has any plans to develop such a form. Or if that's something that we should be doing. I can see value in there being one uniform form for us to use.
So what is the group thing? Would that be, seems like something that this group could look at if it's not already in development? Something similar to the combo form. I don't know if all counties were using that on the day of election in centers for, you know, to deal with emergency voting or basically all the issues that they were looking at.
Hillary?
Yeah.
This is Cynthia.
Mm-hmm.
We used basically a VSPC combo form for the last couple of years. We've been modifying it to meet current statute, and we're planning on sending it to the Secretary of State's office. We'd be happy to share with this group as well.
Yeah, this is Amber. We created that combo form a few years ago, and then we sent it to the state, and they approved our using it. So I know they've got an approved form that I'm assuming with some of the new changes. I mean, yeah, I don't know if it'll be the state updating it now, if they're going to adopt it as an official form, or we can certainly help update it and then send it in for approval, but they did approve the one that we've been using, and I know Boulder, and I think there might be a couple other counties that have used that as well, including last year.
So is that something that maybe Denver and Larimer could look at? Because I think to Josh's point, if we just had one form, that might be helpful, or if there are differences, what are the process reasons for those?
Yeah, the one that we have is just the voter registration form, and then on the top part is where we have the check boxes where you can say if it's a replacement or it's an address change or it's a registration or an affiliation or a few other reasons. And then the two different affidavits for the registration piece and then the replacement ballot piece is at the bottom. And the state, again, did sign off on that. So I don't know if there's anyone from the state maybe that's on the call to say if they're going to modify that form or adopt it as an official form or anything. We can certainly resubmit it to get.
Well, and then this group could also suggest that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this group is tasked with, is what uniform processes make the most sense. I mean,
and I
prior
think that
says it impacts score, but.
I think that'd be really beneficial to all the counties to do that, to recommend, you know, some sort of combo form like that.
This is Judd. I don't know the answer. I would love to, you know, give you the state's position, but I don't know what the preferred position is. So let me talk to people about it, and we'll get back to you.
Okay, great. Because, again, there has to be some sort of check-in when they get there. So, and to have enough information on it, but also, you know, does every voter need to fill out all the same amount of information?
That's what I agree with, Corey. Do you want to have the voter completely fill out a form and give all of the information, or just what we would need, qualify the voter first?
Well, I think the form can also do that as you add to it. I mean, is it, most of it's filling out, and I haven't seen the form in a while, but it's name, address, date of birth, and that's also a way to confirm that they haven't moved. Now, they don't always know what address you have in their registry.
No, they don't.
So having everybody start with their name, address, date of birth seems pretty reasonable, and then assist them with what other parts they need to fill out if they're not sure. Right, like someone who didn't get a ballot in the mail, they know they may need one, but they may not know, like, are they not registered in the county? Are they not registered at all? All of those types of things.
It's Cynthia again. One of the things we found in the last few elections is the fact that we were starting to compile more driver's license numbers from those forms. We did not have them in SCORE. If I remember correctly from reading 1303, we are now going to start to have to getting driver's license or SSNs. I can't remember. But I noticed that was something that was in the bill or carryover from previous.
Yeah, it's probably transferred over, but would you take a look at what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's just why I was suggesting that, you know, obviously having everyone fill out a basic form would. I'll find it for you.
Yeah, the other piece is I know Arapaho uses the card reader that on the back of a driver's license. And then does that supplant the need for a form, or does that just make it quicker for you to look them up? And was anyone else thinking about moving in that direction? Okay, we're still going to have to meet in person. No one's going to comment on the phone. Anybody thinking about that, or has and does the use of the form impact that decision or not?
Hillary, this is Josh and Jeffco. We're going to look into it, probably not for this year.
Okay.
But it seems like a place we can gain efficiency.
Hillary, this is Michael with SOS. based on the process flow from Denver, I think the replacement ballot request form covers almost everything here. And then the only thing I have a question for, Cynthia, in Larimer, I noticed you put a label on that form. Is there room on the current replacement ballot request form for the label that you're printing out?
We have modified that form to accommodate the label.
Okay.
And we're just in the final stages of just reviewing everything one more time before we were ready to send that form off.
Okay, so if we're gonna suggest a single form, we may want to consider whether all counties are going to utilize that label space the same way. Mm-hmm. If not, I have a feeling we're going to end up with a couple different versions of this form.
Agreed. And that may be what we do for this year, and then can we get to one form? And I guess more is it similar to the instruction sheet as long as it has all the same data on it.
Is there anything this form would be used for other than requesting a replacement ballot or changing an address?
I think the picture was to make it a registration form as well, so it was just one form, and you didn't have to shuffle back and forth. But, Amber, can you speak to that?
Yeah, it's registration, and then in a primary, you'd want to be able to affiliate or change affiliation, and then potentially the certificate. Well, you'd probably just want to print that out. But, yeah, registration, change of address, affiliation issues, replacement would be the majority of what would be covered with it.
Well, I'm not sure people are going to need a certificate anymore.
Yeah, you would probably just print that out of the system anyway.
Yeah, if they needed that.
Okay, so it's essentially a registration form that allows for requesting a replacement ballot.
Yeah, it's like the one that the combo form that we've been using, and that's my. I think it had a few more choices at the bottom. But
Cynthia, is the version you're working on, does it contain an affirmation?
It contains both affirmations. I believe there's a duplicate affirmation in 1303, and it contains both of those.
All righty. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get a picture in my head of what's needed here and what it will look like and what we can do with space.
And, Michael, you guys had approved ours, and I believe you might have even put it out on the forms part in the clerk's corner, but you guys do have a copy of what we use up there. So,
if that Denver helps. And Larimer, can you guys email them out to the group so that everybody's on the same page? Or, I don't know if you have them handy. And, Cynthia, is yours in a stage where is it still draft?
It is still draft. We would just want to have another set of eyes, our proofers' eyes, go through them. I was hoping to have it done by Friday, if I can. Let me check with Doreen if we can send it out as long as everybody knows it's a draft.
Yeah, it's a big
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and Hillary, the one I referenced is the one from last year, so it hasn't been updated yet with the new affirmations. It's just the form that was used last year.
Yeah, and more just for the visual, so then we can align on... You know, see what the differences are, and then I would like to recommend this group align on a recommended form if we can get to one.
Yeah, I can send it off.
This is Joyce and Chafee, and I would like to make a recommendation, if I could, to this form. One of the things that I would like to have on there would be whether or not it was a carry ballot or if they've... voted there, whatever we call that.
Joyce, on our form, we have that. We have whether it's a carry ballot or in person.
In person, yeah. Okay.
And if it's a DRE as well.
Oh, okay, that'd be great. I didn't hear you say that, so I'm sorry. That'd be great if we could have that on the form.
But I think that's why I'd like to send them out so we can see what's on there, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And then have the conversation afterwards. But at this point, a universal form that would meet the needs of a service center is the direction we're headed in. Is that what everybody else is hearing or agreeing to?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. And I'll take silence as a yes, as I often do. So
So. And then we'll also look for what, you know, from you, Jed, let us know what you find out from your end of what the plans are.
Okay.
That'd be great. Just to...
Are we anticipating that every voter would fill out this form? Or just the voters that have some sort of change?
Yes, because they'd either be getting a replacement or voting in person or registering for the first time.
Okay.
And
so the voters that...
form for all of those?
I'm sorry, I missed that, Hillary.
I said I would think you would need a form for all of those processes.
Yeah, I agree. I was just wondering if the voter, and we are only talking about a damaged mail ballot, but I was just talking about maybe the perfect voter that doesn't need to do anything, that just wants to come in and, well, I guess they'd be surrendering a ballot. So I'm overthinking. Yep. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just showing that you have proof that they did that to some extent.
Okay. Okay.
The paper trail.
I'm on board.
Okay. So going back to the chart of the different reasons people would come to a service center, we've gotten them to the form. They go up. The form is entered, and then depending on what they want to do, like if they're going to take the ballot with them, it's done through the registration screen with the carry button. And then the ballot is given to them, and they take that with them, right? That's the first example, if they have a damaged mail ballot and they want to take it with them, or the ballot surrendered. And then in that case, you would go to the early voting screen and issue them a DRE, or I guess I'd be issuing them a DRE if they wanted to vote on the DRE, or paper if they decided they were going to vote there. True so far?
Yes.
Others? And then is the process different for any other voter? You know, so like a voter who never received their mail ballot. Same process, just confirming their address. The question I have with that is the counts and what does current statute require, is that one voided ballot for them, so they're on ballot number two if they've never received it? I think that's how SCORE has always treated it, correct?
Yeah, that would be a replacement as well.
Mm-hmm. They're currently registered and didn't receive their ballot at home for whatever reason. But then the rest of the process would be the same, right? They'd fill out their form. If they didn't receive their ballot because they'd moved, you'd update their address. And then the same choices, if they're going to take it with them through the mail ballot screen, if they're going to vote there, it's through early voting.
I think
so far, so good? Okay. Then the next voter up is one who wants to vote on the accessible machine. It would be the same process, only they would mark a different part on the form for surrendering their ballot. Again, not to physically surrender it, but then we'd void it through SCORE. Okay. Then the unregistered voter, the difference would be we'd register them first, and then the choices would be the same. If they wanted to take the ballot with them, we would issue it through the registration mail ballot portion. If they wanted to vote there, we'd go through the early voting module.
Hillary, this is Michael. I had one question on the unregistered. If I'm unregistered and I live in Denver County, but I show up in Arapahoe County, I'm still registered there. I just don't get a ballot to vote that day. Is that correct?
Say that again.
So I'm going through this process. I approach the voter service counter. I fill out the form, and then I go to get processed. If they realize you're in the wrong county, they still register me so that if it's prior to 8 days, the right county can mail me a ballot, but if it's on election day and I say, well, you know what, I want to register now, I'll just miss this election and vote in the next one, I still get registered that day, even if I'm in the wrong county. Is that right?
No, we can't. We don't have access to register someone in a different county.
So I can't. The only way I can register on election day is at the county that I reside in.
Correct.
Yes.
What about in the? Is that true any time up until election day? Once ballots have been mailed.
It's true always. We can't do a registration in another county.
So the best thing for that voter to do would be to go online up until the 8-day window, and then after 8 days, they would need to go to the county where they live.
They could also take their form and mail it to the county or drop it off themselves. If, you know, there's obviously time before the election.
But that's probably something that we should talk about, because next year, when we're open 15 days, like, I know college campuses, like, we've got a lot of people at Auraria that don't live in Denver, but they tend to show up at that service center, so we may potentially have some sort of terminal for them to register online, I guess.
Right, yeah, depending on the day, you could, yep. I think that is something definitely for next year to look at, where it will be more of an issue. And again, just thinking through from a SCORE process. There's nothing with SCORE, really. It's just it's a business process. So I would recommend our next is to go a deeper level now and see if there's other choice points that come up. Let's looking at both Larimer and Chafee's flowcharts that are have another layer of process added in there. How does that sound? Yep.
How about the inactive return mail and undeliverable voters? Would we just label them maybe under their own column? I mean, they'd be treated where they have to fill out a form. But I think we need to have some specific procedures for that as well.
Would it be different than an unregistered? Because wouldn't you just be, well, yeah, I guess because you want to activate them.
Correct.
Yeah. That'd be, okay, so let's make a note of that to add. Well, or isn't that the same as an address change? Because the only people who are going to be inactive now will be because of a returned mail. So maybe that's part of the never received a mail ballot?
You know, you're probably right. That's true.
I think it's just in the processing of them looking at what their current registration record says.
Say they fall into that category where they're registered but didn't get a ballot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, registered voter who has never received a mail ballot at their home. Because I don't even think they'll know why. Potentially. Mm-hmm. What do others think with that category and the processes you use in that one? So it's the third one down. Work for that.
Yeah, I think it does.
It's the same. You want them to have an updated registration form. And I don't think it really matters if they're in the wrong county. If they've moved to your county, that's the part that's important. Where they're inactive from doesn't matter at that point. They just haven't received a ballot. But there is that confirming with their address, which is why that's important on the form.
I think, Hillary, I think one of the other questions that came up at conference was whether or not the in-person had to be on paper or DRE, and if everybody had to offer both. I think that came up, and I think that should definitely be addressed probably in a business process.
Yeah, and well, and I think also some of it's for this year, what are people capable of? Because the paper could be, you would give them a mail ballot packet if they want to vote on paper, and if they want to vote in person. I know some counties, I think that's their plan, and I don't think in the statute there's anything that prohibits that.
Right. Everyone's going to have paper to do the replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be there. But counties may differ in how they handle some of that, is what I heard at conference.
Yeah. I agree. So, others, what do you recommend we do from our, from the business practice group recommendation side? Do we do a process if that's how you're going to handle it in your county? Especially, well, yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings up a question about the signature verification. If you hand them a mail ballot packet, and do the signature verification on that.
What's the voter brings up? Renee, can you say that again? What's the question that it brings up?
Oh, I'm sorry. The echoing is just driving me nuts.
Yeah, I know.
On handing a mail ballot packet out, if the voter votes it there, returns it, and for some reason they're rejected for signature verification, is that going to create a problem if counties have the choice to issue either a mail ballot packet or a paper flat ballot?
I guess, are any of the counties on the phone thinking about this option, and what have you thought through it? Because I know we're planning on doing paper. I thought Denver you were. I don't know about the others.
Well, county's still just grappling with the issue. We would just like to issue replacement paper ballots, and anybody that wanted to vote in person, direct them over to a DRE since we're an all-DRE county. But just exactly the point that was just brought up, what would you do if you had to reject a signature when they were getting a ballot in person, and we're still wrestling with that question there?
Yeah, Denver, we're going to offer flat ballots for in-person or DRE, and then if they want to carry it out, they'll get a mail ballot packet. That's exactly why we don't want to have anyone vote in person, sign an envelope, and then have the signature not match and get them a discrepancy letter, because that would not be good for the voter when they've already validated their identity in person.
Well, and that brings up the other issue, though, is that ID is actually not required to get a replacement ballot. There's nothing in rule or statute that requires ID for a replacement, and it's the signature that you use to verify that's the person who had it, because the replacement form isn't required anymore either.
We had it explained to us in Larimer, and I can't remember who and what call we were on, but that if a person got a mail ballot packet and took it out of the voter service center, then we didn't know who would sign that envelope, so that it would have to go through the signature verification process.
Yeah. And it may not match. I know.
Yeah, that would be if they carry it out, right?
Right.
But as soon as they take it away from your, from where you are, depending on how big you are, right, it's essentially out of your control and sight.
Yeah, that would be definitely a mail ballot packet that then would go through signature verification. I think the ones that, what Rudy mentioned and Renee, would be the flat ballot in person that they don't take away with them. They deposit it there at the service center.
Oh, see, and I misunderstood that. I thought it meant if someone came in person, you gave them a replacement, they signed the ballot, and then it was rejected.
No,
so
it was
Rudy or Renee?
Situation that Amber talked about. I guess from our standpoint, it would be easier to train our judges just on the two scenarios, but that signature verification thing definitely has me spooked because, you know, to disenfranchise one person would be one too many.
Guys, this is Josh, and maybe I'm missing some of it. I know, Rudy, you and I have had this discussion as well, but wouldn't this be the same situation as any of our mail ballot voters who get a discrepancy letter and we have a conversation with them about why they got the letter? Even if they're getting it and they're there in person, I can see they're going to be frustrated if they get a letter, but if they're signing differently, that's part of the safeguard for our mail ballots.
And I think if we had that conversation, we could come to an agreement. But I guess the problem would be is if the election results were too far, I guess, for the voter to think that their vote mattered and they just ignored our letters, and we ended up turning a situation over to the district attorney, and then with them questioning, you know, the voter, I guess I don't want to open up a can of worms there.
No, I see your point. I think we're spending quite a bit of time on something that probably is not going to be very common.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is like a 0.001% chance of happening, maybe one or two if we're lucky for the election.
So, and I think it needs to be addressed. It's important, but I think it's going to be rare.
Yep, absolutely.
When I think that's probably one of the choices in deciding what's the option for paper to what you guys are looking at, Rudy. I mean, is that something that a county decides for themselves based on their equipment and what they're able to do? And from our group, do we design a process with flat ballot in mind and design a process where if it's DRE or mail only, I mean, paper is your mail ballot replacement choice?
I think probably the second one would probably be most feasible, you know, as long as there's an option to allow basically us to issue a packet over the counter and do signature verification on all the paper ballots that we issue.
So just to be clear, so you're with this group, we would do, we create the process for people who are doing a mail packet, flat ballot, DRE, and we would do a process for those who are doing just DRE in person and mail ballot for everything else. I don't know if there's that much difference, really, in the two processes, but...
Yeah, we just take away one option, I guess.
Well, I think counties... I know I'm committed to having flat ballot in person, so... I wouldn't take away that option.
Hillary and Amber, can I ask a question? Because you guys are really familiar with the 1303. I remember quite a few years back legislation stating that in 2014 we were having to go to paper ballots. How did 1303 affect that? That they were getting away from the DREs?
I'm trying to think. I don't remember. I remember the conversation. I didn't think they got there. I think it was, or was that about replacement systems? I thought that was more of a declaration.
For the DREs, for the ESNS machines, maybe, that didn't have paper trail?
No, it was the commission that Scott Doyle was on back in
2008, maybe?
Yeah, it was. And then 2009 legislation looked at it, and my recollection was that it wasn't, I have to go back and look, Cynthia. I thought that it was more about future replacements than it was current systems.
And that's fine. I just couldn't remember what statute said, and we were just sitting here having that discussion, you know, about the DREs, so.
Yeah, and more around legislative intent. I thought that was where that got worked in, but.
And I couldn't remember, so.
Because I know they wanted to legislate it.
Yeah.
But that was defeated to a version.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's do the next layer of the process and see what other choice decision points there are for counties. And on my screens, I have both the Chaffee and the Larimer County up. First, are there differences, I mean, other than layout in the process from the two, for those of you that may have looked at it a little deeper? Not so much. So why don't we, like, the Chaffee's has more words around the process, so maybe just look at both of them as we go through it and see. I don't know if that's going to be too confusing, because one's more flowchart-ish with the yes-no decisions. What do you guys recommend? And again, what we're looking for are where are the other county choice points where we want to talk through where people might be doing it different.
Well, I think I'm not sure about that question, but I guess my suggestion on this whole thing would be maybe like we have a high-level business process that sort of shows what the expectations are statewide.
Mm-hmm.
For the voter's experience at the service center and the services that will be provided. Then, once we have that, we maybe have more detailed flowcharts as options potentially for counties or based on county business processes if they're using BODs or they're using paper or, they're, you know, however they're doing it, that kind of flow from that. So you kind of have your high-level... Mm-hmm. And then you have sort of more detailed processes associated that support that high-level process flow.
I like that idea of having more than one chart, again, depending on what level of detail people need. I think it's important for the commission for them to have something that takes them a layer deeper as we're hearing about SCORE, how it works. Those sorts of things. And that's the first filter is where do our processes impact the use of SCORE both in the moment of issuing ballots, but then also on the back end of when you're trying to get everything to balance. And is the concern to keep it flexible enough, or I guess I'm not quite sure, versus having recommendations?
I
was just thinking it'd be good to have recommendations in place. I don't know. There is some flexibility for different counties versus small, medium, and large, but they're really going to need some kind of procedures in place.
Well, I guess that's some of it. What's the flexibility? Where is flexibility needed, and what's the reason behind that flexibility?
Well, I would say one example of flexibility would be counties that are going to use VODs at their service centers versus counties that are going to use paper stock. That's one.
Yeah, I think that's a great one.
And then
maybe that's what we can listen to. That. So VOD versus paper stock versus a DRE to some degree, right?
I agree.
DRE only.
Yeah, and then I think just from the Dropbox perspective, I know not all counties are going to have 24-hour boxes. Some counties may have drive-up. Some may have both. So I think there's some flexibility there, but that's separate from SCORE, obviously.
Yeah.
So
I think, I guess maybe that's the other way to ask it. Is there... Why would the process not be standardized up until the point you get to handing them a ballot?
I would think it would be.
Okay.
Hillary, do you think that some counties will want to have a separate voter registration table?
I think some may.
So is that some flexibility that we need to have on the processing, or is it okay just to say that the voter will be processed in SCORE?
What do you guys think? What's the group think as far as what we draw out? I mean, I think the recommendation is that you start in the registration module. If they move to a second line after that, that seems where the choice point is. But shouldn't everyone start in the registration mode, whether it's a new registrant or not?
Yes, I think so.
So maybe that's the way to point it out where that would shift to two lines.
I have a question. Okay. What if instead of having SCORE on the level of when everybody walks in at registration level, what if we had some kind of greeter, much like the Apple Store with an iPad or something, with the current voter registration list updated in it, and questioning people online on if they know that they are registered in public county and they know that their address is correct and they're a perfect voter, can we send them to one line and then kick out the other ones that might have more issues, changing address, changing affiliation, possibly requesting a to-go ballot to another line. So would this offer that kind of flexibility?
Yeah, I think it could. I think there's the process and then where you break it up.
The only thing that this is Jason Chase, the only thing that I can see with that is we don't visualize in lines as much. We just visualize the voter coming to one station, so to speak, and handling that voter right there and not sending that voter to a different line like we would in our vote centers. You know, when we already have close to 85% of our voters currently voting by mail, I don't think we're going to have a lot of people showing up at our voter service centers.
In Pueblo, I think
so. I guess, Bird, what I'm saying is, I think we're going to have this set up so that each county is going to have to kind of set up their own type of process. And the bigger counties, like, you know, the metro counties and like you, they probably will have to set up different type of processes or lines or gears or whatever, similar to like an actual vote center. But the smaller counties, I don't really see where they would need that many judges or greeters or that type of judges or whatever. I just think that they would only need two or three judges tops the most to run that vote center.
So, Hillary, I think that's one point where we do need some flexibility among the counties, you know, how we're going to set that up. But can we just set it up as an overview that the voter will be processed their score?
I had it on mute. I was like, hey, there's no echo. Then I realized I was on mute. The starting point for some of this is how it impacts score and where do process changes impact the use of score and where do they not. So it sounds like there is some choice points on how you take people through it. And again, this year, I don't know how much those differences will matter versus next year. And by your county. What's your volume? So, Bo, were you thinking about doing those this year, or is that something for 2014?
Brian, we use something similar to that already, 2012 election. And our way that our early voting locations are set up, very similar to what I'm planning. Because we do have a high population of people still showing up in person early voting,
mm-hmm.
We ask them to fill out the form first, and during that part, we can kind of figure out which line that they're heading to. If they need a lot of changes, then we have specific judges that are trained differently in the system so that we can do updates in score. And then the other one, perfect voters, can go directly through the line, and it really slows, it stops the bottleneck at the beginning of the process.
And see, we did the opposite. We trained everybody up. We did a week and a half of training with, and then we had people who had done voter registration also in those centers to help with that, so.
We don't really have that many people that are great with computers that we have access to as far as a pool of long-term judges. So we try to use our temps that are doing in-house voter registration out to the early voting location and have them do the, I don't know how you call it, difficult voter or some other term, but that's how we've done it.
What are others planning on doing? I know that, you know, those of you who use vote centers for a while, it takes a different level of training for people. And in early voting as well, we've had to train people up to know more than the traditional polling place judge. Cynthia, what do you guys do? What are you thinking of doing?
We will totally change this for 2014. We will probably end up having a separate registration table. Mm-hmm. We've talked about trying to do something different with the greeters. We're concerned about, for 14 sites, trying to find the skill set of judges mm-hmm. that we need for computer judges. Personally, I'm trying not to think of 2014 right now. But
for this year, do you feel?
This year, we're going to pretty much try and follow these processes, and that's why we detailed it out so much.
Mm-hmm.
We do have that skill set. We've been working on that now. You know, same three sites, the same judges. So
yeah,
it's just totally a different process for 2014.
Yeah. And that's what we need, right, is the 2013 process, and then thinking through the 2014 process, especially where it intersects with four.
The problem with Pueblo's version or our predicament is with the recall election, we would have to basically implement 2014 weeks from now. And so we're having to try to come up with these ideas and processes really quick in forms.
Mm-hmm.
And the Secretary of State's office has been very helpful and But we don't really have the luxury of looking at 2014 yet.
Yeah. Others, what are you guys thinking? For this year, how do we want to present a recommended model? I mean, do we do one flow chart and then put where some of the choice points are? Based on what who the voter is? You know, something similar to with the Denver, where they could be, some of these could be a different line.
Yeah, this is Amber. I guess to me, if we come up with a business process that whatever business process we come up with should work in both years, and it should be high level enough to work in both years, because when we create something for this year and provide a recommendation, to me, then any development or a web application or whatever else would need to follow that business process. So whatever we come up with now to meet 2013 needs immediately for a process would then build into the 2014, and I know the states mentioned that they might do a web app or something different than the early voting module and the registration screen. So whatever this process is that we recommend would hopefully feed into that and then aid in development.
And I guess my question would be, how much is our current process already designed because of how SCORE works? Is there anything we'd do different? Again, obviously not this year, but in 2014, would we do this business process differently?
Well, I think there's still the scenarios that a voter would need to come to the service center are no different regardless of score.
Yep.
So to me, it's going to be very similar. It's just, are we interfacing with score or are we interfacing with a web app? So I don't see it changing dramatically. The tool may change, but the process.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. When you interact with that tool would still be the same. At what point in the process is what I mean by that. The thing that comes to mind for me is there an efficiency? You know, right now we go into registration, then we go into the early voting module. Is that the best process always? I mean, it's definitely the process we'll use this year. And does that impact to the business process, which it may not impact the overall business flow process, just how you use SCORE.
This is Michael. Is the commission looking for a level of detail beyond what we're looking at in the three documents we have in front of us today?
I don't think so. I think some of it is just as we're looking at the needs assessment for SCORE, is there anything from a, you know, looking at the business process first and then at SCORE that would impact it? And there may be more we want to do in that area, but I don't think it impacts the flow of the steps that you'd go through. I don't know. Others?
Well, Hillary, can I ask one question on the Chafee and Larimer flowcharts?
Mm-hmm, sure.
So both of them have a step for checking ID.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, if somebody shows up without an ID, is it possible for them to walk away with a replacement ballot, or I guess with a mail ballot that they would then send in with ID?
Well, you don't, in order to get a replacement, you don't need...
Sorry, not a replacement, a new ballot.
An original.
Additionally, I was thinking, is it possible to show up and provide your driver's license number, even if you don't have your driver's license, and register for the first time and then carry out a mail ballot and then mail it in?
A mark, they'd have to be marked ID required. Their
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, their record would be marked that, so.
I guess it basically, can you carry an ID required mail ballot out of a voter service and polling center?
That's a good question. I know that's part of what, yeah, we've only looked at it from the replacement standpoint. I mean, it'd be like just getting a mail ballot application, right?
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering, you might even be able to just show up with your driver's license number and walk away with a mail ballot.
And then, yeah, then you'd have, so that might be another packet that you have to keep there. I know our ID requires are a different colored envelope. That's one to look into. Making a note. What do others think?
Well, I would say in that sense, if they hadn't met the identification requirements, then they would be marked as ID required, and they would have to provide a copy of their ID with their mail ballot when they submitted it. And then if they wanted to vote in person, they would end up doing a provisional if they didn't have the identification they needed to vote.
I would think that would be true, too.
Because if I'm correct, there's two standards for the ID. If you're voting, if you want to vote in person, you have to have one of the physical forms listed in Title I. Mm-hmm. If you want to vote by mail, you have to either provide your driver's license number with your voter reg form or provide an accessible form of ID when you mail your ballot to the clerk and recorder. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that would be on the flowcharts where it says no. If they don't have ID, there are some other choices there. What do others think?
Well, Larimer didn't read it that way. We thought if they get a ballot, then they have to present some form of ID. Going back to the very, very old, old thing that, you know, registering to vote doesn't require ID, but obtaining a ballot does require an ID. Otherwise, I think it would have to be put in the mail. They'd fill out the form, and we'd have to put it in the mail.
Mail it to them. Yeah, because then you could confirm the address that way.
Correct.
But you don't have to have an ID for a replacement ballot. That's not...
Well, we not to be mailed to them, but... Whenever they came to the service center in the past, we always asked them for ID before we issued a ballot in person that was taken out.
Well, this is one of those we have researched, at least from our county attorney's perspective, is that there is, it is not, an ID is not required for a replacement ballot.
Wow. Okay. And see, that's a new change for us then.
So, okay. We'll write that down as one of those other areas of. Question. Are you guys looking at this too? Or is this just coming up right now?
I hadn't thought about this until I saw these flowcharts.
Yeah. Is that something you'll take back?
I'll share this with Hillary for sure.
That'd be great.
Sorry, Renee.
This is Joyce, and I'm making notes on it.
Okay. Sorry, Renee, what were you saying?
I think you only make them ID required if you receive the application via the mail or voter registration drive, not if they show up in person.
And that's true, and that's in NVRA as well as restated in HAVA. That if they appear a person to register to vote, they do not have to present ID. And I can get section numbers if you guys need it.
Because I think if they were already ID required and they were getting a replacement and then they hadn't provided the number or whatever to get off ID required, they would still carry out another ID required mail ballot that then they'd have to provide IDs for later.
Yep.
And the federal requirements still wouldn't really cover the situation where somebody wants to vote in person, because you could register in person without the ID, but you still couldn't get a in-person ballot without ID in Colorado.
Yeah,
and so it may be a situation where people show up without ID and it says, well, you can't vote here today, but we can get you a mail ballot.
And you can provide your ID with it.
Exactly.
But to Cynthia's point is, if they're registering in person, can you make them ID required?
That might be the problem.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like in the ID box, anyway, we're going to need to do a bit more research on what the options are. Let's look at some of the rest of the process and see how that lines up for people. Do we have a preference which one to go through, or do we kind of look at both of them to see if there's differences? What can your brain handle at 2:40 the day before the 4th of July? Other than a beer. Dealer's choice again.
Just for the sake of breaking the silence, let's start with Chafee.
Thank you, Josh. Let's start with Chafee. I am happy. You know, I am. All right. So, again, we're starting in voter registration, voter lookup. Sorry, I got to look it up for a second. Voter is not in score or doesn't have ID. All right, sorry, let me try again. Let's start at the, okay, I'm with it now. I was looking at the arrows and flowing in the weird way. So we'll start with the top row. Voter arrives at the service center, look up the voter, verify address, check ID, then the method, kind of like what we were talking about, which way they want to vote will determine what you do versus issuing a replacement or the other. So far that looks true to carry out the ballot, right? If they take it with them. It's a little confusing, but. Next then is the voter who is not in score. And maybe that'd be easier, Joyce, if you step us through this, or someone who was in the voter services group, center group.
Okay.
So, are you gonna want to go ahead and step us through it, Joyce?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm in my office and it's kind of noisy in here with everything, so I didn't hear you. I think you did okay as far as checking in with the voter. And then if the voter, we needed to check the ID, and if it, we ask for the full ID, and now we're talking about this check-in form.
Yeah.
And the form, if the ID is okay, then they'll just go through the whole form there, and then we'll either issue them a carry or they'll vote a ballot right then and there. If there's something wrong with their ID, then they'll either have to have a provisional or we'll have to register them. If they need a provisional, we'll go through the provisional test, let them vote, and then they're finished. If we need to register them, then we'll go ahead and register them. We'll need to make sure that we got the correct address for the provisional as well as the registration to make sure that we issue the right ballot. Then we'll just proceed then after they're registered. We'll ask our voter whether they want to vote by mail or if they want or to carry out, I mean, or if they want to vote in person. And if they want to carry their ballot with them, do a carry, then we'll just go ahead and get their information. We always want to make sure my office, you know, since there's just going to be a couple of us that be doing the whole thing, our judges, we want to make sure that we give them the correct ballot style, and we want to make sure we get the right amount of pages, because that's always something that we don't do sometimes, but we need to make sure that we always give them the right number of pages and the right style, and we want to verify their names and their ad and their date of birth, well as the address. We'll generate the ballot information at a score, and then it will print the ballot and make sure to print our label. And since they are carrying the ballot, then we will fold the ballot for that we need to assemble the packet and hand it to the voter, remind the voter that need to turn the ballot by 7 p.m. on election day. If the voter wants to vote in person, we go ahead and make sure that we still have all the correct information that we need. We will ask them at that point in time before we generate their ballot whether they want to vote on the DRE or if they want a paper ballot. If they want a paper ballot, then we will go ahead and print their ballot. If they want to vote on a DRE, then we'll make that notation or send them over to the DRE. If they want a paper ballot, we will then generate the ballot to score, print our ballot, make sure that we give them the correct number of pages and the correct file, and we will give them the ballot to vote, direct them over to a booth. We'll put that in our secrecy sleeve, and as I talked about at conference, we hope to have a separate color secrecy sleeve for that, so that they can put that in a secrecy sleeve, and then they will drop the ballot after they finish voting into a different color ballot box. That's how our process will be.
Great. Thanks, Joyce.
You're welcome.
So now let's flip over to Larimer's. And as we're listening to Larimer's, are we hearing any differences? Again, can we align on at least what the flow of a process would be? And then the next layer of detail, I would say, after this would be much more like the beginnings of the training manual. So, Cynthia?
I think Joyce did a very, very good job of kind of what we're doing, too. So just a real brief overview. I think it sounds the same. The greeter will ask the voter to complete the form, have their ID ready, and then send them to the computer station. The computer station, the voter will be asked for the ID and the form and to sign the form in their presence. They will do any address changes or updates that needs to be done in SCORE. They will issue the voter in SCORE. They'll ask if they would like to take the ballot off-site, vote in person, or vote by DRE. Depending on that answer, if it's off-site, they will basically put two labels on, one label on the form, one label on the return envelope, give the voter the envelope packet, send them to the BOD station, and basically receive their BOD, put it assembled, and send them off-site.
If they are in person, they will print the label, put it on the form, send the voter to the BOD paper ballot station. The voter will vote the ballot on site, place it inside a colored secrecy sleeve, and place it in the ballot box after they finish voting. And if it's a DRE, then they'll program an access card and send them to the DRE and then direct them to the exit. So our process, we did not cover provisional, and I think Joyce from Chafee did a really good job in doing that. So I don't see really very much difference from the process.
So from the other counties, questions or a flow, were you thinking of a different flow for how you were going to do things? Let's start with Rudy up in Weld. What, does this line up with what you were thinking?
Yeah, it lines up exactly what we were thinking. I still have to catch up with my clerk. We weren't able to attend the clerk's conference and attend the presentations, but it's pretty much in line with what we were thinking, and I just have to basically pin him down and finalize everything here.
Okay. Connie?
Yeah, same here. We do pretty close to what Joyce will be doing, too. I think it follows our pattern and what we had expected to do in the future.
Great. And Renee?
Yes, I agree. Larimer County's flow is going to be real similar to how we will handle it. Only difference is that I feel we might qualify the voter first before having them fill out a form.
Say that again?
Look at the voter first before having them fill out a form.
Okay.
If they're just surrendering their ballot, I can envision surrendering the ballot, issuing them a DRE or a spot ballot and having them vote. And they have, like, a signature card.
Okay, questions? Good one.
This is Joyce again. If I can comment on one more thing. One of the things that we also do here during this part is for our watchers, we also print an extra Dymo label, and we put it on a like a 3x5 card, and we just put that Dymo label on those cards. That's what we hand our watchers instead of trying to do anything else, and that's something that we do for this process. If they, we do signature cards before with the little section down below that we tore off and just put our Dymo label on that. But since we aren't going to have signature cards as such, I've decided to just buy some type of 3x5 cards and put the Dymo labels on there for our watchers to have. It's one of the things that I thought I'm going to add to this.
Others, what are others? Well, let's go through the process, and then we'll see what others are doing about the watcher part of it. That's Bo, what? How does this line up with what you were thinking? I heard of the greeter and maybe some separate lines, but as far as the process itself, is that pretty similar?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what we're looking at. There might be some differences in wording or where we ask questions separately, but I think overall process is what we're going to use.
And Josh?
Yep, same thing.
Okay. And then Fran, what about you?
Sounds good.
And then Amber, how does this match up?
Yeah, it's very similar to what we had down. So.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, it's a bit more detailed, but it's the overall overflow process that you guys, the upper level, is has a lot of the detail in it.
So we'll get to watchers in a minute, but from what this group then needs to talk about presenting, and then a process for alignment, both. And I guess I should ask, sorry, SOS, if Michael or Judd or anything is, are there things that are sticking out to you all? We identified the ID area. Is there other things that stick out?
This is Michael. Nothing for me.
Yeah, nothing for me either.
Okay, great. I realized I was just assuming you'd jump in, so sorry about that. And then, Elena, anything, questions or anything?
Nope, I think this is all sounding good.
Okay, great. So then, I guess, what do we want to use for a draft? It's kind of different views of the same information between what Chafee has and what Larimer has. I like the idea of using Denver's as kind of the really top version view of it. What do you guys think? What do you recommend as far as for this group for the 15th is when they'd like us to have something, a final recommendation. They'd also, as far as process goes, if we can get a draft out for people to comment on and counties, that's the second half of the question is how do we align the counties and how do we get input to make this the model in. Do we have to have it done by the 15th, considering I think we've already identified what can be done with SCORE and is going to be done with SCORE this time? So feel free to answer any of those questions.
Do we need to take into consideration any rules that might be coming down?
Always a good point.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It seemed to probably be we'd want to look at rules in comparison to whatever we come up with. And then in terms of getting other county feedback, we could use ESRC to do that, Hillary. I think we've got a meeting scheduled for next week already anyways.
That'd be great.
So we could probably use that and walk folks through it and then make sure it works for everybody.
And Elena, you can, and Fran, you guys can help me with this, but there was also an intent of putting things up on the website for any public comment?
Yeah, I think that's right, that the intent was after Monday's initial conversation to put something up, and if folks had reactions, invite them to submit written comment or come to the hearing on the 15th.
That is my understanding as well.
So do you think it'd be useful if we sent this as drafts, the Denver document, Larimer, and Chafee to the commission for us to have that conversation next week and then see if this group couldn't have a final version, final draft version for the 15th, knowing that rulemaking is still pending on that? Or do we ask for extended time? Is there a rush why we have to have it on the 15th? Originally, I thought it might tie into the needs assessment.
One thing to consider there, too, is whether or not there's going to be things that the counties learned from the mock election that may play into this at some point. I'm not sure if they will or not, but it might be worthwhile to wait until after the mock election.
That's a good suggestion as far as finalizing it. It seems like if we could have a draft out, they could test that.
This is Fran. I'm kind of thinking the draft sounds good. We could test that. If we give a bunch of models to the commission, that seems to muddy the waters.
When I guess, I feel like Chafee and Larimer are the next layer down, the same information said in different ways, whereas I like the Denver one because it talks about it from the voter experience. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
And this is Amber. I mean, I can make some modifications to it and then, make it more, because it was pretty specific to what ours was, so I can kind of make it more generic and then send it around for folks to comment on, if that's helpful.
This is Elena. I think the commission may be interested in both, but I think having the broader would be helpful because it is kind of a new process for most of us, so walking through what the steps look like big picture first will help people get their heads around it. I do think introducing it sooner rather than later is also helpful, though, because one of the things that's pretty striking in the draft report is that there isn't a process in place, and putting it in front of people and demonstrating that it's 90% there, I think will alleviate some of the concerns about preparedness for 13.
So what if we propose that as a take Denver's for this round, and because it shows the different voters and the different types of people that come into a service center, point out some of the outstanding questions we have and where those choices might be, and then discuss that with the commission? Would that be helpful? What do you guys think on that?
Hillary, this is Josh. I think that would be good to start with Denver. I would also suggest
welcome to CenturyLink Conferencing. Please enter your passcode. Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you. Your passcode is confirmed. When you hear the tone, you will be the 16th person to join the meeting.
Everybody, this is Michael. I did try to see if the broadcast did stop, but he's dialing it back in, so we should hear the echo again pretty soon.
We hear it now.
Oh, there we go. Must be back.
All right. So I'm just trying to think of also with the amount of time we have between now and Monday, that might be good for a final version. For myself, I love the detail on safeties. I can follow the flow easier on Larimer's, just how it goes, you know, from voter arrives. Is that someone who's carrying? I think the part I get a little confused, but that might just be me.
Hillary, this is Joyce. I just kind of have a question. Do you want Larimer's and Safety's kind of combined with the more detailed, but in the format of Larimer's? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, again, personally, yes, that would be my preference, but I don't know if that really matters. It's more what's going to work with the group as well.
the other option is to take Denver's version that stays from the voter perspective and just shows how you work each type of voter through, and are there any steps that you would need to add? Is it another way to go at it, or to Amber's point where she said she could add some more detail to it? I don't think there's a right or wrong decision. It's just which is the clearest.
I didn't either, but I guess I misunderstood the whole thing. What I was kind of understood was I understood that it was suggested that we use Denver counties as the format to present to the commission, and then use these other two as the second layer. Is that not what I heard?
Yeah, sorry, I stirred the pot up on that one. What I was wondering is, could you get it all into one version, or is that just too much information?
I like the two separate versions.
Okay, keeping the higher level and then the more detail.
Yeah.
And then what I was going to suggest is, and I don't know how soon you wanted the split version to be done, but I was going to ask if Cynthia could maybe call on Monday and talk to Lori, and maybe between the two of them they could come up with one big or one small or one medium or whatever version of the second tier.
I think we're supposed to be at the commission on Monday. Is that correct, Hillary?
No, the 15th. We got moved to the 15th when we were there. I'm just going to give an update, which could be, something we were also supposed to talk about. So we're running over. Do people have a bit longer?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. And I understand if people have to drop off, but what if we presented Denver's version at this upcoming commission meeting to give them an idea that we do have a lot of the process already designed, and then brought the second layer with information and our recommended more detailed process flow on the 15th.
I will be going to Fort Myers for the SARA classes that day, or I'll be gone the 12th okay. through the 17th, I think.
Okay.
I don't have my calendar in front of me. I'm sorry. But I'm happy to help with whatever needs to be helped with.
Okay. Larry's on vacation until Monday.
Okay.
And then I will be gone on that week, and then the following week. So that's why I asked if we could wait till that the week of the 8th to meet with Lori.
Well, I think that sounds great. Why don't we have Cynthia and Lori and anyone else who's interested work to make a combined model? And then we can review it in the week and then present it to the commission on that Monday.
Okay, so you want that to be presented then on the 15th?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Cynthia, so I'll just have Lori contact you then on Monday.
And it's Amber. I'm happy to help with that, too.
That'd be great, Amber.
That would be awesome.
Thank you, Amber.
And then Hillary, for ours, I'm going to take another look at it. I might just add a couple provisional points in there, because the provisional piece is not on there at all. It probably should be.
I think that'd be great.
So then I'll do that you need that for Monday.
Elena and Fran, what do you think? I was thinking if we could at least introduce this on Monday, and even if they didn't have time to process it, we could, start the conversation, because, again, these are things we're real familiar with, but... What do you guys think?
And I can come and walk through it too. Whatever you guys want, it's fine.
That was going to be my next request.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think that'd be great.
Okay. And the rest of the group, anybody else want to help finalize the recommended model? And again, that's the one we're going to also send to the counties. Again, it's draft until we have rule. And Michael, you made a great point of, with the mock election too. I don't think we want to finalize that our recommendation until. After we've played with it a bit. And there's, I don't think there's a rush unless I'm missing something. Elena or Fran, do you think there's any rush to get it finalized other than to show them that we've thought out most of it?
I was waiting for Elena. I think that's a really good start.
Okay. So, Connie, Renee, Josh, Rudy, and if you guys, are you guys good with the plan?
Sounds great.
Hillary, I have a thought about this.
Yep.
Amber suggested that we could talk about this at the ESRC meeting on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
That still be possible so we could get some more input?
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, talk through and maybe even show them. Do you think you guys could have a draft for ESRC to look at? Because it's on Wednesday now instead of Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that would be doable. If Amber's willing to help and Lori, we can get together on Monday afternoon maybe.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And then if we could have maybe even, I don't even know what to call them because they're all draft, but something by Friday so that then the commission could look at it over the weekend. So when you guys get started, let me know if you think that's possible. So that seems like that would take care of involving the county in the process, and then we would post it for public comment. Anything else we think the commission needs to be updated on? Any questions you have for the commission? Okay, then.
I don't know if you can hear me, Hillary, but I think that's everything.
Okay. I couldn't hear you before. Then the last item is the group coming to the commission on the 15th, and I'll send out a separate email, but it'd be great for those of you who can show up and be there to answer questions and if they have questions of you all. The meeting is from 1 until, well, it's scheduled from 1 until 5. They usually go till about 4. So you don't have to let me know that today, but I'll look at the other piece that we need to review as a group is the security requirements. And what do we currently do? Because that was one of the things that came up. I think, again, being more prepared for the 15th to talk to that. Then the last thing we probably need to touch base before the meeting on the 15th, and I was wondering who has time available Thursday morning, if that works for people.
Works for me.
If we did, like, is 8:30 a good start time, or is it better if it's a little bit later than that?
It would be a little bit later for my crew, if that's better. It's best to get up and be there by 8:30.
Okay, so if we did it 9... A phone call on the 11th, so if we did one last call before we talk to the commission on the 15th, plus we're going to then need to be more regularly meeting anyway as items come our way. Amber, could you meet on the 11th on the phone?
Yeah, I should be able to make that work, I think, as long as it's early.
Yeah, I was thinking, is 9 o'clock start okay, Joyce?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Okay. Renee, Josh?
Yes.
Ruby?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Michael, will that work for you guys?
Yep, that works for us.
Okay. And then I'll set an agenda for that, but one of the items would be the security requirements, because I know they've had some questions on that, and I haven't had a chance to look into it, but what do we currently do from the county side as far as what goes in our security plan and what are we required for those sites, our current early voting sites?
All right. Any other questions? And we'll look for more work next week and finalize on the 11th. I was going to schedule that for an hour and a half. If we don't need all the time, then we would just stop early. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Feels like it's a late Friday afternoon, so enjoy the 4th of July, and we will talk to you next week. If anything comes up, you know, feel free to email me and let me know if you have questions or anything, okay?
Thanks, Hillary. Thanks,
Hillary.
Thanks, Hillary. Have a good weekend.
Bye. Have a great 4th of July. Bye-bye.